Betts, B-E-T-T-S. In fact, I was credited as Paul David Betts. They used my full name. And the character I played was a gentleman called Kyle. It was in the very early days, and I had an agent who made contact with the director at that time of that particular era of Allo Allo, John B. Hobbs, and he did direct quite a lot, I think, in the early 90s and early to mid 90s. I met him. We had a meeting. We got on very, very well. And he cast me. He came along to see some of my work. And then he just cast me off the strength of that, really. Yeah. It was kind of, you know, this is so long ago now. I know that he came to the acting school I was at, but that was after Allo Allo. This is a really weird thing. I did Allo Allo before I actually went to acting school. And it was kind of a role reversal here of how things should be done. You go to acting school, then you get the work, don't you? But I got the work and then decided to go to acting school afterwards. But that's a different story and a long story anyway. I won't bore you with that. But anyway, it was John Hobbs that cast me for it. You're telling me what that episode was called, so I'm going to take your word for it because I can't remember. I really can't. However, I can remember that it was a funny episode, and dare I say this, but I think the lines that I gave, one particular line, really did get an uproar of laughing, and I sort of remember thinking, is this the biggest laugh of the evening? I don't know, it was cool. But it was, as I say, I was playing Carl, and interestingly enough, there was a homing pigeon involved, where this homing pigeon, I think, had been sent by Rene but this homing pigeon basically was supposed to do its job by delivering a message. And I can't remember who it was delivering the message to, but the person it was delivering the message to was actually in a German prison. And this homing pigeon was supposed to sort of fly through the bars and deliver this message to this character. I can picture him, and he also had his partner in crime, this kind of the shorter guy with the glasses and the dark hair. But anyway, this homing pigeon that arrived should have delivered a message, but the Germans had obviously accosted it, you know. And I remember coming into the cell saying to this person, you have a package or a message or something. I shall just go and get you this message and deliver it to you, okay? And so the guy in prison would go, yes, we're going to get the message. Little do they know that this homing pigeon, I know what it is, it's a homing pigeon, has got a message for me. And I walked in with a homing pigeon that we had cooked. So it was on a plate. I walked in, you know, on a plate, and it had just been roasted homing pigeon. And I can remember the line. It was a line like, we cooked it for you, you know. So we were being very, very hospitable, and we actually cooked this homing pigeon. So consequently, the homing pigeon never quite got to deliver its message, and the message had gone up in smoke with the homing pigeon. So I remember that getting, you know, a lot of laughs, yeah. And of course, all this was done live. This was done in BBC studios, not on location. This was live, which was great. And the other episode, I don't remember much about. It was less of a part. I can't remember the character I played, but it was kind of bringing in various characters into the office to meet some of the German high command at the time. But it was really the first, you know, the first episode, the one you mentioned, that was the one that sticks with me. It was very funny. It was great in the sense, two reasons, really. One is I recognize most faces. All right, I recognize all the faces because I was, you know, I used to watch Hello, Hello when I was like about, you know, this tall. So to be on it was even better in the mid 90s. And I remember meeting Kenneth Connor, and I particularly feel great about that because I was such a big fan of the Carry On films. And Kenneth Connor was one of my favorite characters at the time. He was almost like the kind of the earlier version of, what's his name? Crikey. All right, no, it will come to me. But Kenneth Connor was one of these awkward characters that kept sort of was always embarrassed and always tripping over himself and always sort of apologising for his situation. And he was in some of the funniest Carry On films, Carry On, Get On Holiday, or where is his, Carry On Abroad was one of them. Carry On Girls was another. Which I used to laugh at. I mean, do I laugh at them today? No, but I do. I have a soft spot for Carry On, okay? I know it's not very PC, but I have a soft spot for Carry On because, especially on the acting side, because I thought the acting as comedians was second to none. Sid James, everybody. I mean, my daughter was a big Sid James fan. And we recognise it wasn't very PC, and we recognise it today that it's very dated. But there were some funny moments, and we did laugh. So I know I'm kind of waffling on a bit now because my mind's going back to when I used to watch Carry On films, and I love them. And I remember sort of talking to Kenneth Connor, and I found him quite sort of solemn because, you know, he would talk to me a little bit about Carry On films, but in a sort of a solemn way, in the sense that the kind of deal of, if I remember rightly, the deals he was signing with them didn't really pay very much as the years went by. I think they were one-off, and I think that sort of got to him a little bit. And I did find him solemn, but it was a great pleasure to meet him anyway. Gordon Kaye, interestingly enough, quite a few years after Hello, Hello, again, with John B. Hobbs, who directed that episode, I did a number one tour with Gordon Kaye, Out of Order, the Ray Cooney farce, okay? And I met him again. And so, of course, you know, he remembered me from Hello, Hello, but the difference was this time I was working with him constantly for 3 months, you know, on a number one tour. So that was fantastic. So I really got to know Gordon Kaye more on the Out of Order number one tour, again, directed by John B. Hobbs, than I did when I was with Hello, Hello, because, you know, just doing an episode of Hello, Hello, you never really get to get your feet under the table or know the actors properly. But I certainly got to know him when I did the Out of Order. That was fantastic. Otherwise, the other actors, they sort of flitted by, came and went, really, you know. But it was Kenneth Connor for that reason I gave you earlier. I found Kenneth Connor a version of the ridiculousness, but such brilliant acting and comedic timing and skills of Norman Wisdom. That's the guy. Anyway, yes, carry on. I beg your pardon, Andrew, I interrupted. that's a good question. How many times did I do scenes? Did it go smoothly? Did we have to repeat a lot of scenes? No, not really, because when you're live in front of an audience, you have a schedule. And remember, we would rehearse a week before each episode. So we'd be at the BBC rehearsing in a rehearsal room, and then we'd be doing the actual show in the space of so many hours on the night. So there wasn't that much room for error. I mean, yes, you would, off the top of my head, you'd probably reshoot a couple of scenes. I can't really remember that happening to me because my memories really are more, because I think it went very smoothly. I, you know, nothing jumps out as there being a problem. I remember we sort of went on set, the lighting's there, the audience had been warmed up by the compere before, and we were rolling. And yeah, it just happened. It was smooth. My memory lies more within the rehearsal. And that's what sticks with me, because you're there for a whole week. And one of the funniest moments for me, I know this wasn't part of the question, I don't know if this is another question, but I'm going to answer it now anyway, was when I stepped up to the platform to do, you know, my riff scene as a rehearsal, I remember John B. Hobbs getting, I don't know if he was cross or just irritated that when I did my line, I sounded more like a French resistance person than I did a German soldier called Kyle. And so he sent me off for about 10 minutes just to sort of, you know, revisit the German sort of dialect, if you like. Well, not dialects, sort of, inflections. So I did that, came back, and then it went fine. But of course, that did sort of rock me a bit, make me a bit nervous. Oh my God, am I going to get this right? But it was fine. It all panned out well in the end, especially on the night when we filmed it. Yeah, yeah. All right, putting me on the spot. If I had to choose, did I have a favourite character in it on Allo Allo? I would have to come back to my first reference on one of the other questions, which was to Kenneth Moore, not Kenneth Moore, Kenneth Connor. Simply because as solemn as he was that day, he was still very funny, but in a different way. And remember, being such a big fan of the Carry On films, and purely on the comedic sense and the timing and the sheer brilliance of their acting, then it has to be, Kenneth Moore was the guy I spent most time, you know, with a sandwich of a coffee in between shooting, or in between rehearsing, should I say, talking to. So it has to be Kenneth, yes. What would you like working for David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd? I learned at a very, very young age and early part of my career not to play around with the lines, as I was rocketed again by John B. Hobbs. He said, and he taught me a lesson, because I would go in and sort of reinterpret some of the lines. Okay, you know, I don't know why I did that, I just did it. And John would say to me, David and Jeremy don't spend all their time coming up with these brilliant lines for you to interpret them or not stick to the hook, you know. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, I learned my lesson there. So I never really spoke to Jeremy Lloyd or David Croft. I saw them flip by on a few occasions. And I was almost unaware at the time that that it was sort of sacrilege to sort of play with these lines, you know. But I learned that. I learned very quickly sort of not to do that, especially as an unknown, you know, to start playing with it. So, yeah, so my only reference to these writers was the telling off I got from John B. Hobbs for interpreting the lines. Stick to the lines. They are the professional. They know what they're doing. Yes. Yes, there you go. Your question was, you're aware that I only did two episodes, but was I written into any more episodes? No. And I think the reason why that happened simply was because John moved on to doing another sitcom. And that sitcom was called Down to Earth with Richard Briers. And I got the call up for that. So I did an episode of Down to Earth with Richard Briers. It didn't run as long, but it did have a season. And I remember, you know, meeting Richard Briers. And I, so I, That was the reason why I think I didn't do any more LOLO after that, simply because John B. Hobbs, I don't think John did any more after that. I think, I can't remember, to be honest with you, but I know that by the time he contacted me again, it was to do Down to Earth with Richard Bryce. So I did an episode of that, which was great fun. And again, I have to say, I always saw Richard Bryce as this comedic actor, another brilliant actor. And I think, you know, who reached sort of popularity with Felicity Kendall, didn't he, in The Good Life, if I remember rightly. And you know, he was funny. He was really, really funny. And I liked him very much. But what really made me appreciate the talents of someone like Richard Bryce was the fact that I saw him in the film Much Ado About Nothing, and I was blown away. He was absolutely fantastic in that. When he was, you know, being funny, he was being funny, but when he got serious, especially in that particular film, he was absolutely brilliant. But I was unaware of the film at the time. Had it been made when I did Down to Earth? I don't think it had even been made, Much Ado About Nothing. This was Kenneth Branagh, you know, Kenneth Branagh's production of it. Had it been made when I did it? I can't remember, but I remember that it was John B. Hobbs that stepped up again to the platform to say, can you do this? And I did. He said yes, and it was great. And I met Richard Bryce, and it was another learning process, and it was another wonderful experience.